The passage today is the next one in our Luke series. It's Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. Luke 23, beginning at verse 13. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their request. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?"
Thank you, Jonathan Connex. Do you want to come up? I'll quickly pray for you and then just hand over to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our brother here, Connex. Father, we thank you that you took him safely thousands of miles to us. And Lord, thank you that you've been speaking to him this week. And Lord, just pray that at this moment that you would just speak through him, Father, that the message that you have for us, Lord, that we would all clearly understand, Lord, that we would know what you're saying directly to our hearts and minds. I pray this and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank God for the opportunity God has given me to come all the way from Malawi to your beautiful country, and the opportunity I have to speak to you the word of God this morning. I have heard that you have been going through the book of the Gospel according to Luke, and the passage that I've been given to share with you is the one my dear brother Jonathan has just read. So considering the fact that the verses that we have read are many, I may not be able to exegete the whole passage, considering that the passage is long, but I have tried to choose some of the key verses which are appearing in the passage so that from there we can be able to learn something in this service of worship. The trial of Jesus before Pilate is the theme of our message this morning. The trial of Jesus is one of the key significant incidents that happened in the history of the church. And it is a key, it is significant because it is where we see the sinless Son of God being handed over to his enemies to face death sentence. It is significant because it's where we see God, the creator of heaven, being judged by ordinary rulers. The trial of Jesus is very significant because we see Jesus, the Son of God, being handed over to his enemies by people whom he had created himself. And in this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at two main things. Number one, we are going to be looking at the characters of people that are appearing in this passage. And secondly, we are also going to learn about two principal truths that we are able to draw from the passage according to what we have read this morning. And on the actors that are appearing on the passage, I have discovered that the passage is telling us that there are five main key actors that are appearing in the passage. Actor number one is Jesus himself. Jesus is appearing as the Son of God, sinless, the one who was betrayed to the religious rulers in order to face the death sentence. So Jesus is our first character in the passage. And there is another character who is also appearing in the passage, and this one is the key character because he is the one who is presiding over the case of Jesus Christ. And this one is Pilate, is Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was the 60th Roman governor who saved Israel at that time. And Pilate was a key figure in the trial of Jesus, and that is according to Matthew chapter 27. If you read Matthew 27, you are going to discover that Pilate was the key figure in as far as the case of Jesus Christ was concerned. Pilate was the most cruel king who was not liked by many Jews because he did things that deliberately violated the Jewish law. And Pilate had a feeling that Jewish religion was fanatic. And because of that, he was somebody who was not loved by most of the Jews because they considered him to be somebody who was very cruel to them as well as to their religion. Pilate was the judge during Jesus' trial, and he believed that Jesus was an innocent who did not deserve to die, and as such, he didn't want to take any moral responsibility for condemning the innocent Jesus. So we have seen that Pilate was the second actor in as far as this passage is concerned. We are now coming to the third actor. The third one is Herod. In this passage, the name Herod is also mentioned. Herod, according to what we read from the scriptures, was the Jewish king who ruled Judea, and
It was very important to note that there were various Herods that appear in the Bible. Let me mention about four different Herods that ruled Judea during that particular time. There was Herod the Great, and this one was the wicked king who ruled Judea, and it was this Herod who considered Jesus to be a threat. It was him who considered the baby Jesus to be a threat, and as such, he tried as much as possible to kill Jesus so that Jesus would not overthrow him from his throne. And it was the same Herod who ordered that all the babies, boys, had to be slaughtered, because according to him, as they carried out this program of killing or assassinating young children, he thought that Jesus was also going to be killed among those baby boys. And apart from Herod the Great, there was also another Herod who came after him, and this one was Herod Antipas, who happened to be the son of of Herod the Great. And according to Matthew chapter 14 and Luke chapter 3, he was the first one to govern the fourth part of the kingdom of Judea after his father divided the kingdom into four sections. He was the one who beheaded the John Baptist, and he was the one who tried Jesus when he was about to face death sentence. And there were also other Herods. Herod Agrippa I, this one was the grandson of Herod the Great, and according to Acts chapter 14, he persecuted the early church believers. He killed James, the brother of John, son of Zebedee. James was the first martyr in as far as the early church persecution was concerned. And the last Herod was Herod Agrippa II, who was instrumental in the handing in saving Paul from being imprisoned. So we have seen that there were a number of Herod that ruled Judea at that particular time. But according to this scripture, the Herod who is appearing to be an actor in this matter is Herod Antipas, because he was the one who presided over the case of Jesus Christ when he was being tried. And the fourth actor is Barabbas. In the passage, we have also read about Barabbas, and Barabbas was one of the criminals at the time of Jesus. He is mentioned in all the Gospels and was responsible for insurgency. He was responsible for murder and robbery at that time. So he was sent into prison because he was causing a lot of problems in that society. And the last actor is the crowd. The crowd is also appearing in the same passage. And according to verse 13 of Luke chapter 23, the crowd was comprised of three different groups. There was a chief priest, there was Jewish rulers, who were also called Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were ordinary people. So in our passage, we have seen that there were five main actors that are appearing in the passage. The first actor being Jesus himself, the second actor being Pontius Pilate, the third actor being Herod, and the fourth actor was Barabbas, while the last actor was the crowd. So Now I want us to look at some of the main points that we are able to draw from the passage. As I was going through the passage, I have realized that there are two principal truths that we can draw from the passage. And the first one was that Jesus, as he was being tried by various judges, he was declared innocent before the judges. If we are to focus on the passage that we have read, we are able to know that there were two different charges that were laid against Jesus. The first charge was what I would call political charges. What I would call political charge. And according to verse 2 and verse 5, Luke tells us two political charges that were laid against Jesus. The number one political charge was that Jesus, they were arguing. These people that wanted to accuse Jesus, they were arguing that Jesus was encouraging people not to pay tax. And that was a political charge. If we read Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 and up to verse 21, we will be able to understand, we will be able to appreciate the truth that this charge was baseless in as far as the Bible is concerned. Jesus did not encourage people not to pay tax to Caesar. And that shows that this charge which they brought against Jesus was a false accusation. Because if we read this passage which I've just mentioned, Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to verse 21, we are able to see that Pharisees at one time came to Jesus and they said, "We know that you are a man of integrity. Is it allowed for us to pay tax to Caesar?" And the response that Jesus gave to these people, he asked them to bring a coin. And when they brought a coin, Jesus said, "Whose image is appearing on this coin?" And their reply was that this is Caesar's image. And Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God that which belongs to God." So this accusation which they brought to Jesus Christ was baseless in as far as the truth of the Bible is concerned. The second political charge that they laid against Jesus was that Jesus was causing riots by his teaching. And that is according to verse 5, which we have read. And this one also was not a true accusation, because in as far as the Bible is concerned, these people, this Jewish community, could not prove that the teaching of Jesus was causing riots in the community. They just hated Jesus just because his message, the preaching of Jesus, was transformative in nature. It was transforming the lives of people. It was changing the lives of people. It was delivering people. And it was causing a lot of positive response to the lives of the people. So because of that, people hated Jesus and they were trying to argue that the teaching of Jesus was causing riots in the society. So, in as far as the passage is concerned, we have seen that the message that Jesus Christ is, the passage is telling us that these people laid a political charge against Jesus, But this charge was baseless. It could not be proved because the passage is clearly saying that Jesus was innocent. And secondly, we are also seeing in the same passage that there was also a religious charge that was laid against Jesus. And the author of the passage, Dr. Luke, also tells us that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. That was the charge that they laid against Jesus. And this claim, according to the Jewish law, was blasphemy before God and was punishable by death, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, which says, "On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one person." So, according to that passage, if Jesus was to be guilty, to be found guilty, he actually deserved to die, because that is what the scripture was saying. But in as far as the passage is concerned, Jesus was not found guilty. And in the same passage, we are able to see that Jesus was brought to the court of Sanhedrin, which was the highest court in the Jewish council. And the Bible is telling us that when Jesus appeared before the Sanhedrin, it did not go well with them because witnesses were giving conflicting witnesses. So it was very difficult for them to prove that Jesus was indeed claiming to be the Messiah. And secondly, they also tried to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" And the Bible tells us that Jesus did not respond. And the response that he gave, he said, "So you say," meaning that, "Yes, I am the Messiah, but not in the way you understand the term Messiah." And the Sanhedrin had their own definition of the word Messiah. So according to all these, we are able to see that even though the people laid two main accusations against Jesus, political charge as well as the religious charge, Jesus is showing that he was an innocent person. And now let us see what Pontius Pilate said in as far as Jesus' case was concerned. We started our reading from verses 13 to verse 31. But if we are to go back to verse 2 of the same passage, we are able to see what Pontius Pilate said regarding Jesus. Verse 2 says, "Pilate turned to the crowd and said, 'I find nothing wrong with this man.'" So this is the first argument that Pontius Pilate is giving to the crowd in relation to the man that they wanted to accuse. He is saying, "I have found nothing wrong in this man." And this shows to us that Jesus was an innocent man. Verse 14 also gives us another evidence about the innocence of Jesus. Pilate says, "I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against this man." So this verse is also giving us a clue that Jesus was not to be was not supposed to be condemned because he was an innocent man. And if we go to verse 15, again, Pilate is saying, "Herod has neither found any crime in him, and that is why he sent Jesus back to me." And if we move on to verse 22, of the same chapter, we are able to see the argument of Pilate again. He says, the Bible says, for the third time, Pilate spoke to them. Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found no grounds for the death penalty of this man. So, all these verses that we have read are giving us a clear indication that Jesus was an innocent man. His death, even though he died just because his death was already planned for the salvation of all of us. God had already planned that Jesus was going to die, but he did not die just because he sinned. He did not die just because he was condemned, but he died because God wanted to offer salvation for all of us. The last point that I want us to look at in the passage is that Jesus was rejected by his own people. And in this passage, we see that Jesus was rejected by his own people. This is in line with what the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 11 says. The Bible says in this verse, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So, Jesus was rejected by the Jewish people. He came for the Jewish people, but his very people rejected him. And we are also able to see, even in this passage, that it was those same people that rejected Jesus. It was the very same people, the very same religious people, the chief priest, and the Jews. They rejected Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to survive, but they wanted Jesus to face a death sentence. And if we read verse 18 of the same chapter, we are able to see what his rejection was like. The Bible says, and they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas. We have already seen who Barabbas was, that he was a criminal. He was somebody who was responsible for insurgency. He was responsible for murder. He was responsible for robbery. And people didn't want to see him in the society. But it was very interesting. It is very interesting at this passage that the very people Barabbas troubled in the society are now coming to say, away with Jesus, but we want Barabbas to be released for us. This is one of the critical questions which we all need to answer, which people always have to answer. Because Pilate wanted them to respond, to say what they were to do with Jesus. And they said, away with this man. We don't want to see him. We don't want to see him living in this, in our society, but we want Barabbas to be released for us. And verse 23 also says, the Bible says, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So these people in the society where they live, they cried out on top of their voice to deal with Jesus. They wanted Jesus to be dealt with. They wanted Jesus to die. They didn't want Jesus to live. Instead, they are saying, release Barabbas for us, but you must crucify Jesus. And let us see what Pilate's response to this group. If we read Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Pilate asked the mob, this is what the scripture says, "What then shall I do with Jesus?" This is the critical question even today. We are told the religious leaders responded, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." And verse 24 of our passage, we see Pilate sentencing Jesus to die as the mob demanded. And at the demand of the mob, we are able to see Jesus. We are able to see Pilate, who did not prove any wrong from Jesus, handing over Jesus to these people so that Jesus should face a death sentence, and at their demand, he is releasing Barabbas, who caused havoc in the community. As we look at this passage, as we look at this verse which we have just read, we are able to see what people usually do in our society. Sometimes it happens that people know the truth, and instead of following the truth, instead of following what the Bible says, instead of following what God is demanding from them, people sometimes reject what the scripture says and they resort to follow what people are asking them to do. And this is exactly what is happening in this passage. Pilate is handing over Jesus, even though he realized that Jesus had never committed any crime. He is handing over to him, to his enemies, and instead he is releasing Barabbas. And as we move on to the last verse of our passage, verse 31, the Bible is saying, "For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" And the author is now trying to challenge us to think about what Jesus did. He was an innocent man. He never sinned. If we read the whole gospel, we are able to see what Jesus did. He moved around the streets, delivering people, delivering the demon possessing, healing people, preaching the word of salvation to so many people that were living, and many people were delivered, many people were saved as a result of his ministry. But here, we are able to see people persecuting him. We are able to see him, people handing him over to his enemies so that he should die. And the author of the book is challenging us, if people were able to do these things to the green tree, what will happen to us? What it means here is that if Jesus, an innocent man, was judged unfairly, in an unfair manner, who are we that we cannot sail in the same boat? If Jesus was persecuted while he was an innocent man, who are we that we cannot be persecuted? If Jesus was punished by people and yet he was an innocent man, who are we that we cannot be punished? If we read our gospel, we are able to see the cost of discipleship. The Bible says, "Whoever wants to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus was able to take up his own cross, even though he had never sinned. And I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, that the same thing will also apply to us if we are truly following the way of Christ. People are going to speak so many things against us. People are going to say so many bad things against us. People are going to fabricate lots of bad stories against us. But we should not be surprised, because our Master walked in the same way. And as we close this morning, I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, that this Jesus who died on the cross, according to the passage that we have read, was an innocent person. But even though he was an innocent, he was rejected by the very people that he came here for. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, I want to finish by asking you a question. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Are you going to persecute him? Are you going to continue rejecting him? Are you going to say, just like these people said, away with this man, but blessed are those that are going to accept Jesus as their Lord and Master. Blessed are those that will continue to walk in the way of Christ. Blessed are those that are going to follow the priorities and character of Jesus Christ, because that is what Jesus is demanding from all of us. May the good Lord continue to bless you as we keep on meditating from the word of God. Amen.